So the epistle for the second Sunday after Easter is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile, when he suffered, he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live to justice, but whose stripes you were healed. For you are as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The hireling, and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and he hath no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep, and other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Please be seated. The Lord is my shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In Psalm 22, King David's, one of his famous psalms, just of the idea of the spiritual benefits given to faithful souls. Souls that want to be, obviously, faithful to Almighty God's laws, faithful to God. But I think we can also make kind of that parallel with those souls that are willing to give their life for God. Our Lord at other times has said, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few." So the Good Shepherd calls, but again, few hear that. Because it requires a lot. It requires a lot for souls to sacrifice their life for God, to give up everything, to give up a family, give up a career. They give all of that up in order to serve God, because God is calling them. So again, we know that Almighty God is the one that calls souls, but I think a lot of times souls don't hear that calling, and for whatever reason. They're too drawn to this world, they can't hear it, they don't want to hear it. But we know, coming off of Easter, of how much that our Lord sacrificed his life for us. You know, the good shepherd give up his life for his sheep. So he sacrificed everything for us. And I think that's where then when we look at it in terms of, you know, souls trying to sacrifice their life to God, giving up their life. And again, we see the imagery of this Sunday, the good shepherd carrying the sheep on his shoulder. You know, maybe that's one sheep that has gone astray, that he is willing to go after all of that, you know, just that one soul that even goes astray from him, that he's willing to carry them. And I think that's why we have to try to examine and see why there are so many few vocations out in the world. You know, what is the reason for that? And the generosity that we need. And I think that's something that can be lost in today's modern world, the idea of sacrifice. You know, we've had, you know, souls that have tried vocations. God bless them for the effort that they make in finding out, okay, well, this is not God's will for me. But at least they tried. At least they gave that effort toward that. And as I say again, you know, why do we not have many vocations? Why are we constantly trying to pray for vocations? And I think it's good for us just to try to examine that. I think the Collect shows one of the keys to that. It talks about the humility of the Son, obviously in reference to our Lord Jesus Christ, that the humility of the Son dislift the fallen world from the perils of endless death. And so that humility that is necessary, and understanding that God is the one that calls souls, God is the one that's as souls to leave everything for him. And that is why it's necessary for us to try to give that fertile ground at home. We certainly try to help in terms of that at the school, giving them days of recollection, spiritual conferences, obviously the religion classes, and God willing, hopefully a good example. So we try to help in terms of the vocations at school. A Catholic education is necessary. And that's where we have to try to, you know, support that, help the work that is trying to go on in order to try to help these souls. Because obviously, as time goes on, we see the world getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so for these souls, having to try to live and grow up in this world is very dangerous. Dangerous to vocations, dangerous to their salvation. And so that's why we attempt to try to give them, in a sense, the weapons that they need in order to try to fight against the dangers of the world. I mean, in the epistle, it shows Christ suffered for all of us. He is the shepherd of souls for the sheep that especially that go astray. And maybe in our own families, maybe in our own, you know, friends, circle of friends that we have, we see souls going astray. And sometimes it can be puzzling as to why. Why do they lose the faith? Why do they get tired of practicing the faith? When even in times that we see, we try to give them the same upbringing, the same education, they have the same opportunities, and yet some live the faith and some don't. You know, so what is that? But we know from the epistle that our Lord suffered for all souls, especially for those souls that go astray, because the good shepherd will seek after even just the one soul. Even if 99 are safe, he will seek after that one soul. And so all of us are meant to listen to this good shepherd. When our Lord said, come follow me, and that's the invitation to every single soul. That's the invitation that we have to follow him in some capacity or another. But we can say those special souls that are called to the religious life itself. Those souls that are asked to follow him. And so that's where, what does it take to try to discern a vocation? You know, one, we must try to have a solid spiritual life, trying to help our children with that too. The idea of praying together as a family, the famous saying, the family that prays together stays together. That's why we've insisted upon the family rosary as a necessity for you, that you must pray the family rosary to help the children, one, to see that the family must pray together, but also because of Our Lady of Fatima, we know she has asked for that, especially in this year, the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, to take advantage of the advice that she gives to us, and how important that is for, again, that ground for vocations. As I mentioned, Catholic schools, I think, is of the utmost importance for them to have that daily contact, one, with the religious, but then with their religion. That they have that, they understand, they see the liturgy, they see the Mass, they receive the sacraments. And again, the sacraments are so important for our families. You know, we're preparing for the children for First Holy Communion. I was able to test the ones in the school a little bit. You see that desire that they have. You see that, you know, wanting to receive the sacraments. We have confirmation next in June. I'd love to say next month. It's almost May anyway. And preparing our kids for this, or even for adults. And how important that the daily, understanding of a spiritual life, the receiving of the sacraments, and how important that is for your families. In the building of your families, and showing the importance of Mass, Holy Communion, frequent confession. That's why I said, you know, I'll try to take the opportunity of having an extra priest here that I'll hear confessions through the Mass next Sunday. again, take advantage of that. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have in receiving of the sacraments, because it is through the sacraments that we know that we build the spiritual life. We gain graces from God. I mean, we know that. If you've studied, you know, with your children for First Holy Communion, they have that little illustration of the ladder with the sacraments listed on the ladder. And obviously, as you climb the ladder and receiving the sacraments, well, you get closer to heaven, get closer to God. You have the life of God within your soul. So again, for you parents, showing that to your children of how important the sacraments are because you receive them regularly. You know, trying to come to extra masses, especially masses of important feast days. You know, tomorrow we have the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. I mean, first-class feasts, trying to help the children to understand the liturgy itself and the importance of the liturgy in our daily lives. But through the sacraments, through the receiving of grace, that will help them discern if they have a vocation or not. But again, if your children don't really receive the sacraments, they're not going to hear the call of God because they are away from the grace of God. They are away from that. So it becomes so much harder for them to hear God's voice. Well, I think also trying to help them with the virtue of purity, again, which is something that is attacked in our modern world, of trying to help them. You know, the virtue of purity comes in many different aspects. I mean, obviously, to remain a pure life, staying away from sins of the flesh, certainly. But I say that it also encompasses modesty. It also encompasses, you know, how they handle themselves, you know, between boys and girls. I mean, any of these things helps in the practice of that virtue. And again, we see how clearly that our Lord shows the importance of purity. One, he is purity himself. But then look at the souls that were so close to him. The Blessed Virgin Mary, a model of purity. Saint Joseph, again, another one that we turn to for purity. St. John the Evangelist, the beloved apostle, the purity of souls that God calls and brings closer to him. And so that's why it's so important for us to try to help our families with that. And how can you help them? Well, obviously, you know, talking to your children, giving them those talks that parents must do. You know, as they get older and they, you know, start experiencing life, some, okay, well, then parents have that obligation to talk to their children. It is not for the priest to do. That is not our responsibility. We give advice and confession, and that's it. And obviously, we help in the religion classes, but as parents, that is your responsibility to help your children as they get older. But I would say also look at your home life. What do you allow in the home? Because that can damn souls, that can damage souls. And that is your responsibility. I mean, do you have the television on? Do you have movies going all the time? Is the internet freely accessible to anybody in the house? I mean, hopefully not. Hopefully you have common sense. I mean, as adults, we know how dangerous it is ourselves. But for children, I mean, for one, what do the children need to even be on the internet for? You got to ask yourself that question. Well, I let them play video games. Well, some of the video games today are awful. I mean, those are not things you should let your children, you know, play. Or you think about the movies that some people watch. Well, it only has a few bad scenes. Okay, well, great. You know, that few seconds that your child may see that could damage them for life. I mean, that's where you have to examine your home. And then we ask ourselves the question, why do we not have vocations? That could be why. I mean, the world calls people. It draws them away from God. If we let the spirit of the world into our home, well, no wonder we don't have a lot of vocations. I mean, they couldn't hear God's call anyway because of all the things that are going on. It's always interesting flying, and you see these people that, as they get on, they put their headphones on and they turn music on or whatever, movies on or different things. They can't hear any of the announcements. If the plane was going down, they have no idea. They're so caught up in their own little world. You know, they can't hear any of the announcements that go on. The people come by and say, do you want anything to drink? And they're just like, you know, jamming away. Like you like hit them. It's like someone's asking a question. They can't hear anything. I mean, that's why our kids cannot hear God's call. And so that's where we've got to examine that in our own homes. I mean, is there a spiritual life in our home? Is there a prayer life in our home? You know, if there's not, well, then we shouldn't lament the fact that we don't have priests around or hear extra confessions or go on these, do these things. I mean, that's why. But if our homes were these fertile ground, vocations would come. And as I say, God bless the ones that have attempted and tried the religious life. And it's maybe it's not God called. Great. They benefited from that time by being there. But I think we should have more that attempt to try it at least. Because if God's not calling them to that, hey, you know what? God is preparing them maybe to be a better father or mother. And that was what they needed in order to try to help them to become a better father or mother. You know, whether they spend 2 weeks at the seminary or in a religious community, that could be very beneficial for them later on. You know, and that's why we have a Catholic school, is to try to foster vocations. Not that we're trying to, like, push them out. Okay, go try a vocation. Well, no, but you give them the opportunity to try the religious life. Otherwise, you might just as well send them to a public school then. But no, you want them to save their soul. You want them to become either a good father or a mother or a good, you know, religious. I mean, that's your desire, I would hope. I mean, I imagine. That's why you're sacrificing, you're sending them to a Catholic school. But again, we lament the fact that we don't have a lot of vocations. Well, let's examine why. We've got to give them the fertile ground at home to have vocations, to be able to listen to God's voice. And so that's where you have to try to examine, you know, especially, as I say, with the virtue of purity, are you giving them that opportunity to practice that virtue? Or are they inundated with the world and all what the world has to offer? The news, you know, the media, the movies, the music, you know, the way of dress. That's very hard then to practice that virtue when you're inundated with that world. And that's why you must protect your family. And so as I say, God bless you for making the sacrifices that you make by sending them to a Catholic school. And I would say also, God bless our teachers for the sacrifices that they make to teach and educate your children. They sacrifice a lot of time with their family, a lot of time, at school that they spend. They certainly sacrifice a high-paying job in order to try to help your children save their soul. And for you parents, you entrust them to us for 8 hours of the day, 5 days a week. And so therefore, it's very important for us, one, to also to be a good example, to try to help them to see that, and to give them the opportunity to think about a vocation. So I would say also, I always try to encourage the 11th and 12th graders, hey, upon graduation or even beforehand, go on a retreat. Take advantage of the retreat houses that we have. You know, do an Ignatian retreat. And maybe for some of you adults, if you haven't been on retreat for a while, go on retreat. It can help your family. It can benefit your family. It can benefit your own soul, obviously. And so I think that's something that is important for us. You know, and that's where, I mean, we have the retreat house in Phoenix. We have the retreat house in Los Gatos here on the West Coast. So you have availability. I've been talking to Holy Name. I've been trying to work on maybe trying to get a retreat here. You know, at least in this area, make it somewhat easier for you, you know, to have something you know, where you can drive to, you don't have to fly. There's obviously the retreat house out in Richfield, Connecticut, if you want to see the East Coast. Beautiful setting. It's where I made my first retreat. But I mean, I think the Ignatian retreats are something that is a valuable tool that we have in trying to help our children decide on their vocation in life. But as I say, for you adults too, take advantage of it too to help you save your soul. Help your family. Then also the visits to the religious communities, religious houses. You know, I know our scouts have been very faithful in visiting the Franciscans and helping them. We've taken some different trips with the children down to the monastery. We've taken them to Browerville. So these opportunities for them to have that exposure to the religious life, so they see it's a normal life, they see it's something that they could follow. I mean, it's an opportunity for us. But, you know, to be able to talk to the religious, ask them about the life, ask them about that. You know, as I mentioned to you, we put in the bulletin, we have the Franciscans coming here for the girls in August, August 8th. Dominican sisters from Whanganui, New Zealand, want to see the world. They're coming in July. So, I mean, you know, that exposure, God willing, hopefully will help draw souls to the religious life. Or at least an effort to try, at least to think about it, to think, you know, maybe God is calling me. But, I mean, that's why on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we take, you know, the district asks us to take up, you know, a special collection for vocations, because it is a struggle, it's cost money. But that is where, you know, we take this up to try to encourage vocations. And for you to support a vocation, to help with a vocation, there's many graces that are attached to that. For you and your family. And so yes, if you give toward vocations, God pays you back. Because you're trying to help a soul give their life to God. You know, and sometimes we don't. Our families, we can't afford, you know, to send them to the seminary or to the religious life or different things. We can help with that. We can get benefactors. We can get the support that they need. Never let that become a deterrent to them trying the religious life. And so to discern a vocation, yes, it takes a lot of work. But think about what God will offer back to that soul. And as I say, if you help and support a vocation, they will continue to pray for you. They will support you. They will help you by their prayers. Maybe if you support a priest, he can offer masses for you, remembering his benefactors. I mean, God will reward the generosity that you give. And for the souls considering a vocation, God will reward you too. If you're generous and offer that, your life to God, he will reward you. He didn't promise you a cushiony life or anything like that, so don't get the false idea that you're going, you know, going into a cushiony life. Because remember, every vocation has the cross. Single, married, religious, it's all formed on the cross. That's what our Lord said. But it is through those crosses that you receive that will help you to sanctify your soul. And so let us pray that we have more that are willing to answer that call. More to listen to the voice of the shepherd. And we'll leave you with the words of our Lord that he has said, "Everyone that has left house, brethren, mother, and father, for my sake shall receive 100-fold in this life and life everlasting in the next." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.